Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
The Old Testament reading for today comes from Micah 7, verses 18 through 20. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Catechetical review this morning, the office of the keys. Please read with me. What is the office of the keys? Is that special authority which Christ has given to his church on earth to forgive the sins of repentant sinners, but to withhold forgiveness from the unrepentant as long as they do not repent. Where is this written? John chapter 20, 22 through 23. What do you believe according to these words? I believe that when the called ministers of Christ deal with us by his divine command, in particular, when they exclude openly unrepentant sinners from the Christian congregation and absolve those who repent of their sins and want to do better, this is just as valid and certain even in heaven as if Christ and our dear Lord dealt with us himself. The epistle reading is from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus, our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand. According to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the gospel of our Lord. We make the bold confession of our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And when he comes, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. I would invite all of our children to please come forward. Right here. Good morning. How are you this morning? Are you lost?
No.
You're not lost.
No.
You know where you are?
Yes.
When I was little, I was even smaller than you. I got lost once with Mom. We were in a department store like Sears, and Mom was doing things, and you know what I did? I wandered off.
I wonder what's over here.
Yeah, and I took off, and I was back, and I was really small, so you know I couldn't see much. All I could see was clothing racks all around me. And then I realized it, that Mom was nowhere around. And I looked everywhere. I was going all over the place. Do you think I could find her? I couldn't. It seemed like I was lost forever, that there was no place, no one I knew. And then there was, I looked down one aisle and suddenly I saw Mom coming to get me. She found me. But it felt like it was forever that I was lost. I couldn't find her, but she found me. And you know what she did when she found me? What do you think she did? Yeah, you'd think she would get mad, right? But she didn't. She didn't. She grabbed me, and I think she gave me the biggest hug she's ever given me. It felt like she was squeezing the insides out. She was happy that she found me.
My Uncle Tony once got lost in a Walmart.
Yep, it happens. Yeah, we get lost sometimes. Jesus tells a story today about a sheep. It could have been my story. It was a sheep, and the sheep wandered off. And the sheep couldn't find its way back. So what do you think Jesus did? He did. He left all the other sheep behind. And he went and he searched for that one sheep. And when he found it, what did he do? Did he beat it up? Did he chew it out? He picked it up. He put it around his neck. And he brought it back. The sheep didn't even have to go back on its own. Jesus carried the sheep back. He might have. On his shoulder. He could have carried it on his shoulder or around his neck. Yeah. And he carried it back. And then when he got back, what did he do?
He said, let's rejoice.
Rejoice! You know what rejoice means? It means celebrate. It means be happy because this one that was lost is found again. Now, you and I, we've been lost. Yeah, we were lost when we were born. Do you realize that? We were lost in sin and death. And we can't get out of that on our own, can we? But Jesus found us. Do you know where he found us?
Where?
Yeah, we weren't hiding in there, but he used this water, remember? Should we make the sign of the cross? In the name of the
Father,
and of the
Son,
and of the
Holy Spirit.
And in those words and with God's promise, he found us and he brought us out of death and he brought us to life. He forgave our sins, he connected us to Jesus, and he promised that he will always watch over us. He will always be with us. He will always continue to gather us here so that we might hear his word and know that we are found, and more than found, we are forgiven, and we are Christ's dear children. That's why we started off with that baptismal hymn this morning. We were once lost. Jesus found us, brought us here, and now what do we do? We worship, but what's Jesus do in the parable? He gathers his friends, he gathers his family, and he
rejoices
because the lost are found. And what a great thing that is. So let's go to our Lord in prayer. Will you pray with me?
Dear Jesus,
thank you for finding us.
Thank you for forgiving us.
In your name we pray.
Amen.
All right, thanks for coming up here. And we continue with our next hymn.
Praise the Holy Trinity.
In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you for sending us grace, for giving us Jesus. Strengthen us now in the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. We say it all the time. It's almost like Lutheran shorthand. Saved by grace. God's grace alone. It isn't long, and we're in the Reformation, and then we'll hear that again. Grace alone, faith alone, scripture alone. But we talk about grace in a sense where it's something we can go get. It's a commodity. Paul talks about it in Ephesians. He actually pounds that grace into our ear when he says, by grace you have been saved. And then just a little later, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one can boast. This week, I asked the vicar, as I was working on this, I asked him, just tell me what grace is. And he says, it's the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, which is a result of that grace that God gives to us. The mistake we make is thinking about grace as a commodity. I'm going to church today to get more grace. I need grace to get through this week at work. God be gracious to me and forgive me all my sins. When we define grace, we often define it this way: God giving us what we don't deserve, versus mercy, which is God not giving us what we do deserve. But that still defines grace as a commodity. Grace isn't something we can buy. You can't go to Sam's Club and find it. You can't order it off of Amazon. Grace is not something that we earn by being a good neighbor or an upright and fine moral citizen. Grace is an attribute of God. It's a way of describing how God acts and what we can expect from him. God is gracious in the same way that God is eternal. God is just. God is loving and forgiving. God gives us grace. He gives us what we do not deserve. He gives us Jesus. Through the only begotten Son of God, through Jesus, God is gracious to us. Grace isn't a commodity. Grace is a person. Grace is conceived by the Holy Spirit. Born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried, descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the quick and the dead. If you read the gospel reading for today, it's full of grace. And you'll never see the word in the text. But you will see Jesus in action. Jesus seeking. Jesus finding. Jesus restoring. Jesus tells two parables in the gospel reading for today. The first one about a shepherd who, being gracious, goes and looks for that lost sheep. One out of 100 is gone. He doesn't chalk that up to an acceptable loss. He leaves the 99 and he goes and searches for the one. And when he searches, he finds it. And when he finds it, he puts it on his shoulders and restores it. And then he rejoices. Did you notice what the shepherd didn't do? The shepherd didn't chew the sheep out. The shepherd didn't interview the sheep and say, okay, what have you learned so you don't make this mistake again? The shepherd didn't take his staff and remind the sheep on the way home of all of its erring ways as he's beating it into submission. The shepherd searches for the sheep. And he finds the sheep. And he picks the sheep up and puts it on his shoulders and brings it back to the flock. And then rejoices that this one that was lost is found again. Jesus is always searching. Always finding, always restoring, and always rejoicing. When that one, that lost one, was found, the shepherd gathers all of his friends and his neighbors, and he says, rejoice with me, because finding the lost is really worth celebrating. Jesus is grace to all of those who are outside, all of those who have wandered off, all of those who can't find their way back. And he's still seeking. He's still finding them. He's still restoring them. And you've seen it right here. A number of years ago, we had a single mother that joined us in church for a while that had quite a reputation in the community. And she saw Jesus in you as you befriended her. You invited her in, and she came in. And she sat down and you sat with her and you helped her follow the service so she would hear Jesus for her. We saw it with a homeless man that wandered into church on Sunday morning, doing nothing more than panhandling, wanting a few bucks to get through the day. And you offered him a shower downstairs and he cleaned up. And you brought him upstairs and there were all kinds of leftovers in the fridge and you made him a meal of everything. And then you invited him to worship, to hear Jesus. And you sat next to him. You gave him Jesus. He saw Jesus in you. He saw you being generous and gracious to him. He was restored and brought back. He heard his sins forgiven. This is grace in action. This is Jesus in action. This is you reflecting Jesus back to him so that he could come and be restored. And we could celebrate, and he could celebrate. Jesus tells another parable, another grace-packed parable, right on the heels of the one with the lost sheep. This time it's a lost coin. It's in the house somewhere, and she looks for it. She lights the lamp, she sweeps the entire house, she does everything, and then she finds it. And what does she do? She gathers her friends and her family together and they celebrate because the lost is found and it's restored again. This time it's only 1 in 10. The searching is just as diligent. The rejoicing is just like when the sheep is found. Jesus still seeks the lost that are in his house. Now we have a tendency to believe that everyone here is on the same page. That we all believe the same, that we all benefit from the scriptures, we all understand how we are to love our neighbor. But that might not be the case. Sometimes the lost are in his house. In the epistle reading for today, we hear St. Paul talking, and remember St. Paul's history, formerly called Saul, the Christian hunter. And Saul was found. Saul was lost. He was lost in his own diligence of keeping the church clean, diligence of salvation through dedication. He was lost because he wasn't going to let those people, that group that called themselves the Way, into his church. Saul was found and restored by God's grace. Saul was found in his lostness by Jesus. Listen to how St. Paul talks about being found. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. Saul had the word of God preached to him. He was baptized. He was forgiven. Saul was saved by grace, found by Jesus, forgiven through the cross. Can you imagine the rejoicing in heaven when Saul, the Christian hunter, was found and forgiven and restored? Can you imagine the rejoicing in heaven when you were pulled from death of sin and darkness in the waters of baptism and restored and forgiven and brought into the family of Jesus? It's the same rejoicing. It's the same finding. It's the same Jesus. Through water and God's word, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, you were found in the darkness and damnation of your sins, and you were restored to the family of God by grace, by Jesus. You're not lost eternally, but now we live eternally forgiven in the kingdom of heaven with all of those who are rejoicing over the Lamb who sits on the throne. Jesus continues to seek. He continues to find. He continues to restore, because there still are many who are lost. Sometimes they're lost right here in this house. If you're offended because that person is coming to church, then maybe you're the one who's lost. Maybe you're missing the very reason that we're here. We need Jesus, every single one of us. We need Jesus, and he continues to seek out sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes and the broken and the forgotten and the homeless and those with a reputation. And he brings them here, and he forgives them, wipes away their past, forgives their sins, and makes them one of his family. We are all restored by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. If you look and judge people in worship and think they don't deserve to be here because of their reputation, because what they've done and what they haven't done, you might very well be the lost one, lost in your own self-righteousness. Gathering in worship is not a place where we come in and take pride and take the seats of authority in the front. It's the place where Jesus gathers us, invites us, gathers us in to come into his house so that he might be gracious to us through Jesus' death on the cross and forgive all of your sins and restore us. No past. It's all forgiven by Jesus. This is the place where the broken come and are restored and are found by his word and his sacraments. This is the place where he forgives us and he reminds us who he's died to make us be. If you're separating yourself from the gifts of God and thinking that I can worship at home, look what you're missing. You're missing the gifts of God given to us here, his grace and his mercy in his very body and blood for you, for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Dear friends, there is no one so lost that Jesus can't find them. There is no one so big of a sinner, no sin so atrocious that the blood of Christ can't cover it and forgive them and restore them. Jesus is still working. He's still seeking the lost. He's still finding them. He's still picking them up and putting them on his shoulders and bringing them back here to his family. Dear saints, rejoice with me that the God of all grace continues to seek and to find the lost, and to forgive their sins, and to restore them and us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now may the grace of God and our Lord Jesus Christ continue to strengthen you now and always. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.